We're going to talk about understanding resurrections. As far as a timeline on what we've already covered, we talked about pretty much everything leading up to the final 70th week, but we're not quite there yet. We talked about the rapture, and so what we're kind of covering now is what is that, what's happening right before we dive into that last 70th week, and then right after the rapture, okay? And so understanding resurrection is a very important part to go right into that final 70th week. But the idea of the resurrection in the last days is mentioned in scriptures quite a few times. But again, like we discussed earlier, it's very, very important to understand when we talk about prophecy and prophetic scriptures, there's always an allowable for there to be a gap in between certain fulfillments of what a prophet or even Jesus Christ may speak. And if you don't catch that gap, then that's where some of the confusion can start. Just saying, well, I thought this was supposed to say that. So an example in regards to the resurrections, there's a few passages of Scripture that refer to the resurrection of both the just and the unjust. And so if you look at it point blank for what it is, without any idea of breaking down scripture hermeneutically correct, then you would say there's a mistake there. So let's look at one of those examples. And that's in John chapter 5 and verse 28. John 5 and 28. And we're going to see when Jesus speaks about this and makes sense of it. John chapter 5 and verse 28. Jesus says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Of course, there are two groups of people in this passage, those that are good and those that are evil, right? And the Lord is saying there was going to be a resurrection for both of them. The question is it going to be a simultaneous resurrection or is it going to be individual resurrections? That's what we're going to look at a little bit today. There are two main types of resurrections in Scripture. The first resurrection and the second resurrection. The resurrection of the saved and the resurrection of the unsaved. The use of the word first, and think about that in parentheses, first. Very good, Rodney, doing good. To describe the resurrection which follows after Christ's resurrection gives us an initial clue that the word first cannot be absolute the way we look at it as far as it in chronological order. First place, second place, third place, fourth place. Even though that word is first used, it's more or less as a single event which occurs before all others in a natural timeline. Now, I'm going to explain that. What I mean by that is Christ has been resurrected for almost 2,000 years, right? But Scripture calls this subsequent event the first resurrection. So it is from the perspective, that word is a perspective of priority of where it comes in regards to the importance rather than it being a chronological order. Okay? We're going to break this down. Those who participate in the resurrection of life rather than the resurrection of condemnation, as we read in John 5:28, it is also first relative to the millennial kingdom, since the subsequent resurrections after that will not be until 1,000 years later. And that will be, of course, the resurrection of the unjust. Christ was the first man to rise from the dead, to rise in the category, and we call the first resurrection. But Now, if Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of all those who have fallen asleep, for the Bible says, since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, look at the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. Rodney, you can just leave it there. Just leave it there. You're doing perfect. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 20, and we're going to explain this a little bit. What I'm getting to is there's multiple first resurrections, okay? That's the part I want you to kind of think in your head. There's multiple first resurrections, because the first resurrections is going to be a group of resurrections that fall in a category before the second resurrection. And, of course, I got to give you scripture to back it up. I'm not just making this stuff up. All right, so we're going to look at scripture. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. We understand King James Version is slept is talking about dying, being dead. So he is the first one, first fruits of those from the dead and become first fruits of them that slept. For since by one man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are in Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. That is, of course, pointing to that second advent, the beginning of the millennial kingdom. So there has to be some judgment and some resurrections that take place in between that time. Okay? Now, in this passage here, Paul describes two or possibly even three resurrections. So let's look at them a little bit closer. The first one, of course, is Christ. Christ was the first fruit. Christ was the first one that resurrected from the grave. But then he says that the church, okay, the church as well is going to have a resurrection. Well, what resurrection would that be for those saints that have already passed? We're talking about Peter, James, Paul, Andrew, all the disciples. They're dead right now. So what resurrection are they going to have? Well, they also have to take part in the resurrection of the just, which would be the rapture, the church being raptured at that time. They take part of the same resurrection that Jesus had. What did the Bible say? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, today you certainly can. True. That's right. So yes, you do have to die first, okay? We're in it because you remember that we have to look at everything historically. So when Paul is writing this, most of the church at that point is kind of still alive. You know, I mean, we're talking about AD 66, whatever, right? A lot of them are alive. But we're in 2017. So that's still a part of the church. It says here in this verse, verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, and this is verse 23, they that are Christ at his coming. So he's speaking to the church, and the next resurrection taking place will be the rapture of the church. Because the Bible talks about in 1 Thessalonians that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. How can they be caught up together to be with us in the clouds unless they are resurrected from the dead? Yes, in regards to this, no gap, in regards to these resurrections. And what we're going to do here in a moment, and there's a chart up here, I'm going to break this chart down and let us see these first resurrections. But the main thing I have to do right now before we build too much is help you understand that there are two main resurrections, but they're not two in the context of just one, two. I'm talking about a group. First group is the first resurrection groups. And then we have the second and last resurrection, which would be the resurrection of the unjust that will take place. And we're going to break it down. But again, those questions are good because sometimes you hear and you got to put it all together. So it's okay to ask today. Okay? So we understand that the church will be raptured. We already know that Christ was the absolute first resurrection. But then there is also going to be all other believers at his physical second coming in judgment. Again, he still has to, and it says it here in the scripture, Paul has not strayed away from what's going to take place with the children of Israel. They still have to have the Messiah reign. And that's why we see in verse 25, he makes it clear, for he must reign. There is no exception. There has to be a millennial reign of Christ, because that is what he told David and Abraham that was going to happen. That David, you will always have a Messiah on my throne. And that's what they always looked for until the church came in and made everything be paused for a second. Everybody understand that? We're in that gap period. It's like on pause. They're like, what happened? He says, don't worry. It's verse 25. Christ still must reign. The church, we're going to do our thing right now. But then once I rapture you, I'm going back to fulfill everything in the Old Testament I had already talked about. And all this we've already built upon, right? So all this kind of stuff is starting to come together. Now, again, there's two categories. The first category is the resurrection of life. That is the first resurrection. So anything that's the resurrection of life, that falls under the umbrella of the first resurrection, okay? And the resurrection of the condemnation, that is the second resurrection. The first resurrection consists of several sequential resurrectional events, so more than one event that falls under the umbrella of the first resurrections, okay? And then they are falling under that same category. All those that are redeemed fall under these categories. For example, a man on Thanksgiving may say, we've had, with great satisfaction, all the harvest is gathered in. Well, the harvest may have started, and they started to gather a little bit, and then, you know, a week of rain. Well, they got to put it on pause. Well, then they go back and get the rest of the harvest. That by the time Thanksgiving Day is coming, all the harvest has come in. But there were multiple times they had to go and get the wheat. Okay? I'm not sure that's the best example, but there you go. Now, look at look at Luke chapter 14. So Luke chapter 14. And we're going to begin at verse 1. Luke 14, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy or droopsy, however you want to pronounce it. And Jesus answered unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered him, saying, which of you shall have an donkey or an ox fall into a pit and would not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? They could not answer him again to these things. And he poured forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out of the chief room, saying to them, when you are called of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher, then thou shalt have it worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brother, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. When thou makest a feast, call the poor, maimed, the lame, and blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So Jesus, in all of his parables, they might not even completely understand what he's saying, but he puts in something that says, I know all of this is going to come together once all of my men of God put the New Testament together. But the first time we see it here, he said there is going to be the resurrection of the just. Okay? Write down some cross-reference scriptures. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, 10 through 14. We already read John 5, 28 to 29. And then we can look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Revelation 20 and verse 6. I'm going to read that. Revelation 20 and verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. So when you are part of the group of the first resurrection, the second death or that second resurrection is not something that you have to fall underneath, because you've already been in the resurrection of life. Praise God. I'm so thankful for the first resurrection. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So if you are someone that falls under the first resurrection categories, you understand you are going to be spared from that ultimate second resurrection, which will entail also the great white throne judgment, when all the unjust are going to have to stand before God and be judged according to their unbelief, praise God, according to the word that they had known at that time. So we hear it is a resurrection of the just, resurrection from the dead, a better resurrection, resurrection of life, from those scriptures that we gave you if you wrote them down. So again, these phrases suggest a separation, a resurrection of the portion of those who are dead, which resurrection leaves some dead, they're unchanged until, but others, we're going to see a transformation, and we're going to talk about that. Who is going to have a transformation once they are resurrected? So again, there are several different events or resurrections that transpire or have already transpired in history that we will look at. They fall under one of two categories, either the first resurrection or the second one. So now, let's look at it. So Rodney, are you able to go back to that PowerPoint with that chart you had? Are you able to find that? Go down pretty far on the right side. Give Rodney a hand. My boy is learning all this. Yes, thank you. Yep. So double-click the PowerPoint. There we go. All right. I'm not sure how good you can see this, but this will be a good area to take notes. Now, what I want you to notice in this chart here, the top left-hand says the order. So that order is going to deal with the actual chronological time of when it happened. All right? The next spot, it's hard to see, it says which means is it going to be in the first resurrection or the second? It either say first or second. The next one is the timing. Or when did this particular resurrection take place in history, in prophecy? Where did it land? And then who is the one that took part of that resurrection or will take part in that resurrection? And then I will explain the descriptions and give you scriptures to deal with that. All right. So the first one, the first resurrection that has taken place is Jesus Christ. Well, when was the timing of that? That was 3 days after his death. That was the first resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the first fruits of all those who have fallen. We find in Matthew 28, 1 through 7, Mark 16, 1 through 11, Luke 24, 1 through 12, John 20, 1 through 18. Of course, all of these are toward the end of each gospel book, which describes the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think we all, no doubt, believe that Jesus Christ was the one who was part of the first resurrection. Okay? And looking again at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, we are going to look at that scripture again in regards to resurrections. Rodney, you can keep it on that chart. You just keep it there. All right. Verse 20 again of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. He is the number one priority on this list of order of anyone that is resurrected in regards to redemption type of resurrection. Okay? Now, the next one that's still a part of the first resurrection is a few Old Testament saints that once Jesus Christ, praise God, was crucified as well, the graves opened up shortly after the resurrection of Christ. These saints were raised. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 and verse 50. Matthew 27 and verse 50. And actually, this is right before the resurrection of Christ. Okay? But this is in regards to Christ, why it says he's the first resurrection. His resurrection is what allowed redemption to take place of anybody after him. Anybody before him would have to still follow anything that was lined up in the Old Testament. But once Jesus Christ was resurrected, that's when the church was going to be able to be birthed. Okay? But you still need to see other resurrections that are in Scripture. Matthew 27, verse 50, it says, "And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came up out of the graves after his resurrection." You see that? So it gives more clarity. "And went into the holy city and appeared unto many." Many scholars have believed that these saints they speak about weren't like the real Old Testament saints. They're probably most likely those that people knew. You know, if some people from 1825 got up from the grave, I wouldn't know who they were. I don't know who you are. I mean, you might be somebody, but I can't really tell. But we do know they came and showed themselves in verse 53, "And they appeared unto many." Okay? They appeared unto many. It is not exactly say they were exactly Old Testament saints. There's no sense in us trying to force it in there. All right? But we do know absolutely that there was a resurrection. Now, next one is us before the tribulation. There has to be a resurrection. We just answered that question with Sister Robin a minute ago. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 3. John chapter 14 and verse 3. John 14 and verse 3. Oh, yes. At that time, what I believe, of course, you got to just try to put the context of the Bible together. They were resurrected. People saw them during that day. I believe that some of those went with the apostles to the upper room. I believe they could have been numbered among the 120 in the upper room and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, were baptized in the name, and became a part of that first church. But again, because they weren't, it wasn't that much longer. We're talking about 50 days after the resurrection. Right. Yeah, they did not live on fast, whatever that age was. There still had to be a death. But what we're seeing here, though, is that there is resurrections that begin to take place that have never took place like this manner before. And these resurrections are dealing with connection to end time talks. Okay? We see here that he is resurrected now. Jesus Christ is the first resurrection. And as a result of his resurrection, other people are resurrected. We're going to see that as well as we look at what happens to the New Testament church that we too, when we put on half his spirit, that what quickens our mortal bodies to also have the power to be resurrected when that trumpet blows. Yes. Okay, that's a very good question. So this question has to do with what about, and we all believe Scripture that Jesus Christ himself said that I'm not the God of the dead, I'm the God of the living. He says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're talking about Old Testament people that he speaks in almost present tense. Well, that's in the form of a eternal spirit that is able to hold all things. Now, that topic is going to be a whole separate topic that we'll have to cover. But to give you the short answer in that is the Bible lets us know that our spirit is always going to live. We are eternal beings. So in the context of what we're saying as far as resurrections, we're talking about actual physical bodily resurrections. And either we'll get to it today or next week, we will talk about glorified bodies. So yes, absolutely. Moses, Abraham, David, anybody that's ever lived, your spirit has to live in it, but your physical body has decayed, is in the ground. And there has to be a physical resurrection for you to live again unless the Lord allows these moments like Moses and Elijah showing up. But that's not the norm. Those are exceptions to the rules. Okay? So we are all in the hands of the eternal spirit of God because we are eternal beings. But these resurrections have to do with physical people now walking and talking and living. And that's the context of the resurrections that we are covering right now. And there are going to be all those resurrections that come together. So now we see that there is a resurrection, and there will be the church resurrected. All right? So John 14 and verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, that was some of the trouble that they had in Thessalonica. They heard things that Jesus said like this, and then they go, Johnny's not here anymore. Is Johnny going to be able to partake in that mansion that you promised us? And Paul said, yes, Johnny's going to come because there is going to be a resurrection of the church, of the dead saints, right? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:13. This is our kind of our key scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. This is what we call the rapture, official rapture scripture sometimes when we look at it. And it covers the resurrections of the dead. The dead is a special word that we got to pay attention to. In this scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, I'm in the wrong chapter. All right. But I would not have you be what? Ignorant. So I got to educate you, is what he's saying. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. Why are you sorrowing? Well, we can read, John 14, 33. They're going to miss out on their mansion. I don't want them to miss out on their mansion. Even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which are asleep, dead in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Again, dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So again, a resurrection of saints are now living, and that is the third order. But this, is again, is before the tribulation in regards to timing. So Rodney, keep up the chart. Just keep the chart up. Okay? So that is very important that you see. It says, the dead in Christ. That is a key preposition. In Christ. Because he gave specifics about who's rising this time. So going back to our original scripture, which is in John chapter, 5, verse 28, that he said there will be a resurrection of life and damnation. Well, now there's more specifics about these are two separate events. They're not happening at the same time. There's more clarity with what Jesus said. That the dead, only the dead in Christ are rising first. Which means even here, the Old Testament saints are not rising yet. Why? Because they were not in Christ yet. Okay? It has to be A.D., after Christ. Putting your faith in him, like we are now, New Testament church. Putting our trust in him, being baptized in his name, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Those are the only ones that are taking a part of this resurrection. That's it. Okay? The resurrection of the church age, the believers, that's us. And it clearly says, only in Christ. Only in Christ. Now, there is also going to be a resurrection during the tribulation. Who's that going to be? Let's go to Revelation chapter 11, and Rodney, go to the next chart. Okay? So it still falls under the resurrection of the just. All right? Nope, you had it. Go back. You had it. This is in the middle of the tribulation. Look at Revelation chapter 11 and verse 11 and 12. Now, we've already said the church is gone, right? We read that. We just read that. I want everybody to be sure of that. We've already read the church is out of here. The church is not here during this time. So now we're in the middle of Revelation, and there's going to be a resurrection here. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. These are the two witnesses, if you read the entire chapter of the same book, chapter 11, that these are the two witnesses that are preaching in Jerusalem, praise God, and they are giving out different type of signs. They had power, but they were killed for a moment, and then they got back up. That was a resurrection unto life. God, two witnesses will be raised after they were killed by the beast. So this is in the middle of the tribulation, and the witnesses are the ones that are resurrected. Now, there is going to be another resurrection after Jacob's trouble, which is right after the tribulation period, of the Old Testament saints. So again, these are still the just. It still falls on the just. Now, they weren't the church just, but they were the Old Testament just. So they still fall under the first resurrection. Because again, all the first resurrections, as I keep on repeating, has to do with those that are the redeemed, or those that are saved, ultimately. Look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. So it's going back to something that they had in their mind way back in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that slept or sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That scripture really does cover the just and the unjust, because this is now post-tribulation. This is after that 7 years is up. Jesus Christ is about to reign for that 1,000 years. So there is going to be some resurrections that take place so that the Lord can deal with them. Old Testament saints are going to be resurrected to enter into this millennial kingdom. That's what he talks about. He says that there's going to be them delivered. They are being delivered from that Antichrist, which again we've covered, and we'll cover it one more time before we finish this entire lesson. But there's going to be them from the Old Testament rising up. Look at Isaiah chapter 26 and 19. Isaiah chapter 26 and 19. And you have to look at it, I guess, this way too. These Jewish people always knew there would be a reign. But obviously, if they knew they were going to die, and the Messiah, quote-unquote, hasn't come yet, well, where's their promise at? Again, left out. So even in the book of Daniel, and what we see here in Isaiah, you can see these Old Testament Israelites had an expectation that when the millennial reign does come to pass, they're going to be able to share and enjoy in that. So this wasn't, quote-unquote, some brand-new information that John would bring to them. When we look at the book of Revelation, they have prophetic scriptures that showed that they would have a resurrection to take place in their own lives, so they were able to take part in this millennial kingdom. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19. The dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So there's going to be a prophetic word from Isaiah that they are going to be able to live again. These are the Old Testament saints. Go one more scripture in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. We'll begin at verse 13. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 13. Ezekiel 37, verse 13, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves of my people and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now think about this. In Ezekiel 37, this is the scripture that preachers love to preach from, because he asked Ezekiel the question, can these dry bones live? And he said, you know, Lord, I'm not going to answer that question. And he said, speak to these dry bones, speak to the wind. And we know that they all, that graveyard came up and came alive again. So he gave him a snippet of an understanding that when it comes time to my millennial kingdom, I am going to raise up those that are dead so that they can be a part of it. Now, what we need to watch is in verse 14, I will put my spirit in you. When it comes down to that millennial reign, the Bible lets them know there's a promise that in the last days, he will pour out of the Spirit on all flesh. So he told them, why is it going to be so much peace during that time? Because God's Spirit is going to dwell inside the hearts of men. And God's Spirit, the Bible says, is going to cause us to walk in his commandments. And that's what the Spirit of God does. And so the Old Testament saints had that hope when they step into the millennial reign with Jesus Christ, or their Messiah at that time, understanding it, that the Spirit of God would be in them during this time period, and that he would raise them out of their graves. All right? Who else is going to be resurrected during this period of time? This is the sixth order. This is at the beginning of the millennium. So I can go back to that chart. Go back to that chart, and we're going to find that this is going to be the tribulation saints. Because again, there are going to be people that are going to be saved during the tribulation. They're going to be saved in the sense of they're going to die and then be resurrected. And I'm going to laugh. I'm just going to tell you that they're going to have to go through that. But they're going to be tribulation saints or martyred saints. Okay? This is at the beginning of the millennium. Once again, Jesus Christ has just conquered the Antichrist, and he has to resurrect those Old Testament saints, but also the martyred saints. Yes. During the tribulation. No. Yeah, from all nations, all kindred, all tongue. I believe so. I believe the Holy Ghost. I believe the 144,000 Jews that God is going to mark with angels from the four corners, and along with these two witnesses we just talked about. And again, we haven't even got to the book of Revelation yet, but I'm glad these questions are coming because they're all ultimately going to be answered. But once the church is resurrected and there is going to be the Antichrist showing up, but the Lord is still going to mark 144,000 Jewish people. And they're going to have a revelation that Jesus Christ was absolutely the Messiah. And they're going to preach Jesus. No, the Jewish people are going to preach to the world. Yes. So the Lord is going to mark 144,000 Jews. Mark them. The angel of the Lord is commanded by the Lord, and he is going to say, it's going to be 12,000 from each tribe except the tribe of Dan. Okay, Dan would not be included in that number. So if you talk to any Jehovah's Witnesses, tell them, and I'm going to show you guys the scripture, that is, it says it clearly. It gives each name of the tribe and leaves Dan out. And these 12,000 of those are going to be times 12, the 12 tribes of Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's two sons. And he marks them. He puts some type of something on them that allows them to be spared from all the things that are going on during the tribulation so they can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from those 144,000, Jews and Gentiles are going to submit to that word, not yield to the Antichrist, and be martyred for their faith in God. So they're going to die sometime during that seven-year period, or that last 70th week, for their faith, for not taking the mark of the beast. okay, and for putting their faith and not recanting Jesus Christ as their Lord. They will be martyred. So what we're covering now is the Lord is going to resurrect those saints as well. They had a natural death. They were killed by the Antichrist and his minions, whatever you want to call them. But when the millennium reign comes, when Jesus Christ comes, set up his kingdom, he resurrects the Old Testament saints, and he goes, by the way, would resurrect the tribulation saints as well. Yes. Yes. You mean as far as marked? So I want to make sure, yes, because sometimes we ask questions. I want to make sure I'm answering your, let me repeat back what I think I'm hearing. Okay? That were thousand that were marked specifically by God. Now that's it. There's nobody else marked. Now, others could not be marked and still believe. That can happen. But then I'm talking specifically about who God actually told his angels to mark this exact number of people. No. It's those that are marked. They're not necessarily the martyrs. It's those that they preach to. As an example, let's say you're not raptured, right? Gentiles and Jews and other Jewish people that come to faith and believe the Messiah during that time. Those are the tribulation saints that are going to have an opportunity to be resurrected. All right? So let's go to that scripture. Let's go to that scripture. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And again, all of these are falling under the first resurrection. And it took me a while to grab that too. I was like, wait, first? More than one. Because we think always in these black and white terms. But first has to do with a group. Okay? First resurrections. All right, Revelation chapter 20 and verse. Let's just read the whole chapter here. Verse 1. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of a bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. You see that number again? 1,000 years is 1,000 years reign of Christ. Satan himself is bound during that time. Makes life a lot easier when the devil is bound. The Bible lets us know that we can bind the devil here on earth right now too. Praise God. And he cast him into a bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, don't ask me, ask God, okay? Because I'll tell you right now, keep him in there. But I'm not God. God knows better than me, all right? Now, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, now watch this, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the what? First resurrection. It put it in there. It says first. Now, let me make it clear to you. It says those that were martyred, that believed, that chose not to take on the mark and not worship that beast, those specifically are raised to do what? Be a part of the rule and reign and to live during that time. Now, how God judges that and divvies out their positions, that's God. That's fine. Thank God for that. But there are other people, right, killed during the tribulation, which we're going to read about that later on, a few weeks here. Millions of people are going to die. They don't get that opportunity to live during the 1,000-year reign. The Bible tells us that. It says in the next verse, why don't you go to verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were what? Finished. What happened to that? That last or second resurrection? Because this is the first resurrection. See how that was a big umbrella of more than one resurrection? So if you don't read this right, think about how confusing that is. I thought Jesus was the first resurrection. Well, I thought this is the resurrection. And we're all, well, what's the resurrection? We don't even know anymore. But we see that, no, it was all the first resurrection. If you see each and every one of them, all had to do with saved people. Every single one of those first resurrections had to do with saved people. Somebody had their hand up. Any other questions? Yes. 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 1,000 years. Now remember, because again, that's what we have to put. That's why if you didn't listen, I'm not saying you, but just in general, if you haven't heard this from day one to now, some things may not all come together. So we're going to have it all CD. So to answer that question, though, remember the Jewish people from Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah always had an expectation that their Messiah, forget about the church, was going to literally reign. He would be David's son. He would sit on the throne in Jerusalem. They've been waiting for that. Well, it hasn't happened yet. So this is going to be when it finally happens. He fulfills all those Old Testament scriptures, and he rules physically on the earth without Satan having any interference for 1,000 years, and the church is going to rule and reign with him, as well as some martyred tribulation saints. I don't want to be a martyred tribulation saint. I want to go in the rapture. I believe we are going to the rapture. Okay, now the last one. The last one. So go back to the chart, little Rodney. And this is the second resurrection. All right? This is at the end of the millennial kingdom, which, right, Revelation 25 lets us know that. It has to be after. It says until the 1,000 years were finished. So we got one scripture already right there that shows us that. Okay, so hit the next slide there. And this is number 7. The order is number 7. It's the second one. When is it going to be? The end of the millennial kingdom, according to what we already read in Revelation 20, verse 5. Well, who's it going to be? The unbelieving dead. This goes back to day one, you guys. I'm talking about Adam, day one. All right? Because this is it. At the end of the millennium reign of Christ, the final resurrection will consist of the unbelieving, wicked dead. They will be found guilty at the great white throne judgment and cast into the lake of fire. This is it. This is it. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Revelation 20 and verse 11. We do know between that time, we'll go into it in a few weeks later, but Satan is going to be removed from this. He will deceive the nations. He will gather Gog and Magog together. Let me just say something right here. Now, again, I'm not saying I'm smarter than nobody, so when I talk this way, I'm not, hey, some people have different beliefs. That's fine. But a lot of people look at this as Russia and all this other stuff. You hear that a lot. Gog and Magog, Russia, Russia, Russia. And then I'm not saying it's not. But what I am saying is the Bible clearly lets us know this is after the tribulation. Whoever Gog and Magog is, they can be whoever they want to be. But the Bible clearly says it's not yet. It's not happening right now. It's not until after the resurrection. I mean, after the millennial reign, after the 1,000 years. Okay? Now we're in the second death. Okay? Now, contextually, we're still in Revelation chapter 20. He already explained what the first resurrection would be in verse 5. He already said that the second death will have no power over those that were included in that first resurrection. Well, we cannot forget about all those that was a part of that first resurrection. The church, the two witnesses, okay, the Old Testament saints, and the martyred saints. They don't have a second judgment. They don't have it. The Bible tells us that. Okay, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's it. You're done. Now, what did he see? Verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. When we read this, we got to remember what the other scriptures already said. In verse, I got to keep going back to it. The verse 6, the same chapter. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. So before he got into the scary stuff,
He already told you if in the first resurrection, you don't have to worry about that. Yes.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's a comforting thing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah for that. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead, because some people have drowned, right? My wife, when she went to El Salvador, she's going to tell us more about it. But they were in this lake that was made from a crater, which means that, yeah, it got, I guess it got, there was a hole in the earth. And that water came from the bottom up, and they said at their own mouth, if it falls, they can't find planes from anywhere because they don't know how deep it is. They have no idea how deep that thing is. It's that deep because it came from the bottom up. There's a hole in the ground somewhere. No, this was in El Salvador. Okay? But the sea will give up those dead and that were in it. And death and hell are delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Look at the details of these scriptures here. It says that hell and the grave will give up what's in them. These are people that have already know they're on their way to the lake of fire. Right? If you weren't living for God in the Old Testament and in the New, and you're a part of the tribulation, and you do not confess Jesus, you've already it's already going to be done. You cannot take place in the first resurrection, because the first resurrection was clearly given to a specific group of people. And everybody else, you guys can just go ahead and be part of the second death. I don't want to be part of the second death. I don't want anybody to be part of the second death. That's why we preach and we teach and we reach. Why? We want to be part of the first resurrection. Amen? Praise God. All right, that was heavy enough. What we're going to cover next week will be kind of, well, let me conclude. Let me just finish this. Then we can go into glorified Bible next week, okay? So the resurrection of the saved and the resurrection of the unsaved are the two different resurrections. But Jesus Christ did say there will be some that will be raised to everlasting life and to judgment. That was the first scripture we read in John 5:24. The first resurrection goes into a series of resurrections. All right? The church, the ones we discovered. All right? Revelation 20:13, I'll read again. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell were delivered up to the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, which meant there were works that did not include their faith in Jesus Christ. So the main difference, if I can summarize it, the first resurrections are resurrections for those that believed, that were just, and the second are those that did not.